spent a lot of time here at his ministry, number of years, going over the commands in the Torah. We went over that twice. We found every commandment we could find, and principle and precept in the Torah. And then we also went through the commands of the Messiah, 40 videos on that, 160 commandments. And then we also went over the commands of the apostles, 90 videos on that. So we are, you know, focused on Torah, wherever it is. I don't care if it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Corinthians. I don't care where it is. Yahweh says, this is what I want you to do. It's his inspired word. I'm not going to pass go. I'm just going to do it. That's what I want to do anyway. We're all in that work in progress. But if we don't also look at his promises, it's really easy for us to forget. And so we have been going over the promises of Yahweh, a series now. This is part 40. And we've gone, started with Genesis, and looking to different key promises that are found in Scripture for believers. Now, there are some promises for unbelievers. We didn't really look at that so much, because that's not who we are. but there are some promises for believers that I really think, as believers, we have to keep our eyes on. Because this world will drag you down. It'll try, you know. And I think of Yahshua, the one who authored our faith and finished it. He had to do it as well. So here is some promises we've discussed so far. We're at promise number 205. Yahweh has reconciled the body of Yahshua's flesh through death to present us holy and blameless and above reproach. And so no matter what anybody says to you, you are holy, blameless, and above reproach. In whose sight? His sight. That's all that matters. We are complete in Yahshua, who is the head of all principality and power. Don't need anybody else. When Yahshua returns and descends from heaven, there will be a shout, the trumpet of Elohim, and the voice of an archangel, Teruah. When Yahshua returns and descends from heaven, he will first gather those who are asleep in Yahshua and bring them with him. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Master. Yahshua will come like a thief in the light to those who are in darkness, but not to us who are sons of light. Yahweh is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, for he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are some promises we looked at in depth. Most of these were last week. So now we're going to look at some promises in 2 Timothy. But the full list of all the promises of Yahweh, if you go to eliyahu.com/POY, just read through that list. And that entire list is a promise for you based on one simple decision. One simple decision. Repent. Put your trust in Yahshua for forgiveness of sins. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. So this is what Yahshua did. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Yahshua, the author of our faith and the finisher thereof, right? It says, for the joy that was set before him endured the staros, the stake. And so he had his eyes on a promise from the Father. And that's what got him through the most horrific things ever been done to a human being. He despised his shame, and now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. So if that's what it took for him to get through his difficulties, he's our example. Let's walk as he walked. And let's look at this joy that is set before us. Paul had to do that. He was actually in prison twice. The first time he was in a rented house, and everyone received him and all this. But now he's in chains. His second letter to Timothy. All right. So, yes, he was imprisoned twice. If our ministry efforts are hindered by persecutions, how can we not be discouraged? Whatever happened to the first century believers in the early part of the book of Acts? They had all things in common. Everyone was going great, had favor with all the people. What happened? How do persecutors sometimes end up contributing to Yahweh's word being spread even more? I love it when that happens. What is a common situation for those who desire to live righteously in Yahshua? Why does it say in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful? Do we not need faith? How can we avoid being discouraged by all the divisions that we see among believers today? Were all the first century congregations perfectly unified? What scripture in the Torah says Yahweh knows them that are his, as Paul quotes in 2 Timothy? Where in the Torah can we find even famous men and leaders of congregations being exposed as frauds? Is it okay for us to be a part of a sect or a denomination? The first century believers were called Christians and Nazarenes by outsiders, but what did they call themselves? These are some questions we're going to examine today. The imprisonment spoken of in the book of Acts, this house arrest, he had visitors and such. But this second letter to Timothy has kind of this tone of finality to it. And so there was a fire that was in Rome historically. And guess who got blamed? Believers in Yahshua got blamed. And because of that, they got persecuted horrifically. And some believers were even used as torches in the city streets, believe it or not, in the book in Rome, according to history. So, but Paul's in prison, probably, you know, because he's widely known. In fact, Caesar's household was part of what was greeting people in some of Paul's letters. And so let's take a look here at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and may Yahweh give you understanding in all things. Remember that Yahshua, Messiah, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of Elohim is not chained. I just love that thought. So he's suffering trouble as an evildoer. You know what persecution really is? False accusation. Paul was not an evildoer. But they hated him, and they had to invent something against him. That's what persecution usually is. He was accused of bringing Greeks into the temple and defiling the holy place. Never was true. Yahshua was accused of blasphemy. That wasn't true. But there was a hate underneath the persecution that was driving the accusations. So, someone in that position, especially a man like Paul, who did a whole lot of proclaiming the word of Yahweh. I mean, you might be tempted just to get upset and to say, you know, I was doing so well. The word of Yahweh was just spreading everywhere. And now I'm in this prison, chained up. Can't do any ministry like I was before. But he didn't take that attitude. He says, well, I'm chained, but the word of Yahweh can't be chained. His focus was not on his ministry. His focus was on seeing the word of Yahweh go out. And the word of Yahweh cannot be chained. And so I think it's an important promise if we're doing ministry, no matter what the enemy may try to do to hinder us or stop us, they can't. They can't stop Yahweh's work, no matter how hard they try. Somehow, some way, Yahweh will even use their own power against us to be turned back against them, and can even further the good news in ways that never could have been done before. And we have to believe that. The word of Yahweh is not going to be chained. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 43, one of my favorite things I like to see. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 43, it says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together." They were together. Beautiful, beautiful thing. All being together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. What a beautiful situation. You're not worried about class warfare, who's rich, who's poor. Well, we're just going to come here and live together. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And Yahweh added to the congregation daily those who were being saved. And so they even had favor among all the people. The beautiful thing that was going on here. This is the very first picture of the earliest assembly. Things are looking really good. But, as is nearly always the case, when things are looking really good, here comes the attackers. We see, some chapters later, Acts chapter 8, at that time, a great persecution arose against the congregation, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all not together anymore. They were scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the congregation. This is actually Paul before he was converted, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Think about that. You weren't even safe your house. He's going to arrest you and haul you off to prison just for being a believer. And so he's wreaking havoc, and you would think this would have been, well, why does Yahweh allow something like this, you know? Because things are going so good, it was so beautiful, it was so wonderful. I like the next sentence. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. He couldn't stop it. The word of Yahweh couldn't be chained. They're dragging people off to prison, and they're scattering the believers. Now, wherever they're at, they're proclaiming the word of Yahweh. If anybody here goes to prison, guess where the word of Yahweh is going to go? It's going to go in prison. You can't chain it. You can't hold it back. You can't stop it. Torah observant believers in Yahshua, we are considered the most bizarre, weird, cult-like group you ever saw, you know, according to some people in our community and throughout the world. But, you know, we seem strange to we don't have a friend in the world. You know, Christians don't like us because we look too Jewish. And then Jews don't like us because we look too Jewish. And then Muslims definitely don't like us because we look too Jewish. All this anti-Semitism going around, you know, don't feed into it, please. It's not going to do you any favors in the end, okay? Don't feed into it. Listen, yeah, we seem strange, but one day the whole planet will be filled with people like us. I mean, all you got to do is read Isaiah 66, one Sabbath to another, one new moon to another, there they are, worshiping Yahweh. Or Zechariah 14, every nation of the planet will come, and they'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah chapter 2, is it? He says that the whole world will be coming and learning the Torah. And so you're not going to be able to stop it. No one's going to be able to stop it. They can't overthrow it. It's called the kingdom. It's the kingdom that we're proclaiming. In this new covenant reign of Yahshua, no one can stop it, and no one can chain it up. It's coming, like it or not, because nobody can chain the word of Yahweh. Nobody. So, I like... Actually, missing Isaiah here. Isaiah says, do I have it here? There it is. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It's going to happen. No one can stop it. It's unstoppable, because it is Yahweh's word. It cannot be stopped. And so we are going to be persecuted. That's, you know, par for the course. And so, as it's written, 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "But now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." What did he commit to Yahweh? The congregations he founded. He committed those congregations to him. And as someone in that position, now he can't minister to those congregations, he might be tempted to worry and go, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? And so what he did, I'm sure, is turn all that worry energy into prayer energy. That's what we really need to do when we're buried. But if we're in a situation where we think Yahweh's word is being hindered in some way, whatever it is, shadow banning on social media or whatever it is, understand, Yahweh's going to see to it. It goes where it needs to go. And that's what I see. There's many Christians coming to the knowledge of truth, that the Torah really is valid today. The church may try to stop it, but they've been trying to stop it lately, more and more, but they're not going to be able to stop it. Because no one can chain. No one can chain the word of Yahweh. Nobody. And so we've got to put our trust in that whenever we're being persecuted and we tend to worry about what's going to happen now. My ministry is not, or what I was doing over here is not going to be able to be effective anymore. Listen, Yahweh's got it under control. He knows what he's doing. You don't have to question him. Nothing escapes his attention. He knows exactly what he's doing. And just like even with Job, didn't have to worry about it. So no matter how much persecution or opposition arises, here's a promise we got right here. From the forces of the enemy, nothing can chain the word of Yahweh. Don't worry about it. His word is going to go forth. It's going to accomplish what he pleases, no matter what opposition you face. He will do what he wants to do. So continuing where he left off here in 2 Timothy. "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may attain salvation, which is in Messiah Yahshua with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we also shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful." He cannot deny himself. I see some beautiful promises here. If we died with him, we also shall live with him. We have to understand we died. We've got to understand that and live accordingly. We did. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." We are set free from slavery to sin because we died. "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Messiah, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." We're a part of his body, right? So death has no dominion over us either. "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to Elohim. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Elohim, in Messiah Yahshua our Master. Therefore do not let sin reign your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to Elohim as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Elohim. And so we regard ourselves as indeed dead to sin, but we are alive to Elohim, so that even though we are put in the grave, we will be raised as he was, and we will live with him. And so if we died with him, we also shall live with him. If we endure, we also shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now we have to endure in order for us to reign with him. What are we enduring? What we're enduring is temptation. Blessed is the one who endures temptation. Crown of life awaits him. We're enduring the opposition from the enemy. We're enduring those who join with the enemy to fight against us. We are enduring tests, trials, and tribulations. If you are experiencing tests, trials, and anyone ever had one of those before? Tests, trials, and tribulations? Guess what? Yes, all who desire to live piously in Messiah Yahshua will suffer persecution. It's part of it. She signed up for. Didn't sign up for Easy Street. Nope. We signed up for the narrow way, the difficult way, but with a glorious destiny, right? And so we know that. That's just how it is. And we got to encourage each other. Look, this is how the early disciples did it. They said, when they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Don't stop saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of Elohim. We signed up for boot camp. Don't expect it to be easy here, guys. This is not easy road, but it's a worthy end. I guess you probably know this already, but he's worth it in the end. So praise Yahweh. Now, Timothy is reminded of this also. If we endure, we also shall reign with him. But then there's a little bit of a warning here. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We don't want that to happen, right? We don't want to deny him. And so, now this last verse, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. At first you're going, we don't have to have faith? And he'll still be faithful to us anyway? How can that line up with what everything else says in the Bible? So, because we know, Scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For if he who comes to Elohim must believe that he is. And Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And so what's really being said here? What's being said is, he remains faithful to who he is. He remains faithful to who he is. And one way he's going to remain faithful to who he is he's going to deny those who deny him. Whoever confesses me before him, before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. He who denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so if we don't have any faith in him, he will be faithful to who he is because he can't deny himself and who he is. He will not accept a lack of faith. Right? Now, speaking of the Jewish people who were denying him, it actually says in Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of Elohim without effect? See, their unbelief, they're not having faith, but Yahweh is still faithful. No, certainly not. Let LM be true. Every man's a liar, as it's written. You may be justified in your words and may be overcome when you're judged. And so that faithfulness of Elohim doesn't mean he's going to say, oh, you don't need to have faith. Don't worry about it. My faithfulness will cover you. No, he's going to judge you and overcome you when you're judged because he's faithful to who he is. And so he's not saying, you don't need to have any faith at all. Don't worry about it. And I'll accept you and I'll love you anyway. No, it's not what he's saying. He's faithful to who he is. All right, now, I'll say this. There are times when we may enter a situation like the early disciples and not have the faith he's looking for. And he gets exasperated by this sometimes. That, you know, he's the most powerful being in the universe and we don't trust him. What? How can you not trust the most powerful being in the universe? Is there anybody that you can trust better, like yourself? You can trust somebody else? And so he gets a little exasperated sometimes. And so I think of Yahshua, he said it in Matthew 17:14, when they come to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down to him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Oh, Yahshua gets exasperated and says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you guys? How long shall I bear him with you? Bring him to me. Bring him over here. Yahshua rebuked the demon. It came out of him. The child's cured that very hour. And the disciples are like, Yahshua, why couldn't we cast him out? What happened? Yahshua said to him, sorry about the J name there, oops. Because of your unbelief. Faithless in that moment. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. It will move and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So if they had faith, the Father would have shown them, you need to fast first. You need to fast first. Okay. Then they would have fasted. And so they were not exhibiting the kind of faith Yahshua expected and wanted, but it's encouraging to know that Yahshua was faithful in that moment and took the faith that they didn't have and did what they couldn't do. And sometimes Yahweh will do that. If he's not going to count on us to do it, he'll just make sure it gets done anyway, somehow, some way. And so I think there's sort of a twofold thought here that we could come out of this thought, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. We might have moments where we are not having that faith he's looking for, but he is faithful. But if we're completely without faith, forget it. You're not his, period. And so that's what I see in Scripture and how what he's saying here can line up with all of Scripture. And so I think it's an encouraging promise that we have what's written here. So let's go ahead and add that to our list. If we who die with him will also live with him, we who endure will reign with him. In moments where our faith is challenged, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. We are a part of him, so. All right. Now, let's look to our next verses here. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more impiety. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Here's the babblings. Who strayed from concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of Elohim stands, having this seal. Yahweh knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Messiah depart from iniquity. Now, there's actually a lot to unpack here. I'm going to spend the rest of the study on this very section of verses. Because we have an encouraging word here. Listen, Yahweh's got to figure out the ones that are his. And sometimes it's hard for us to figure that out. Now, how many of us have seen division among believers? Anybody? Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of it. How about first century? Do you think they saw division too? You think they saw it? Let's take a look. He's writing to Corinthians. He says, first of all, when you come together as a congregation, I hear there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must always be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. That's interesting. So the enemy is not just working outside the congregation to attack the congregation from the outside. He managed to infiltrate the congregation and attack the congregation from within through division, through trying to get people divided up in every little camp there can possibly be. But he says, yeah, there's going to be that. But through that, you'll figure out who's recognized. Who's recognized? The ones that are his. And so don't be discouraged. The foundation of Elohim always stands. He knows those are his. And that promise has gotten me through a lot of difficult situations, let me put it that way. because, yeah, we'll figure it out in time. We'll figure out who they really are. Time usually tells who they are. They come in, they appear to have all the good fruits. They appear to be one of you. They appear to be everything good. Let time tell what really happens. Over time, you'll figure out who they really are. Whether they're really true brothers. And I'm very thankful. Over the years, I've had the three elders that are part of this ministry. We've been working together for almost 20 years. And they have been very faithful men. And I praise Yahweh for them all the time. I thank Yahweh for them. I need gray beards around me, you know. I didn't have gray beard at one time. It's starting to get gray, but I needed gray beards around me. And that's important. All right, so factions. Is there factions among you? Actually, the Greek word has to do with, well, I'll dig into that in a minute. Here's an example of, he says, they stray concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is past. And, of course, the resurrection is not past. And they say things he called profane babbling. Things are not even true. And they come up with this stuff. But listen, Yahweh knows them that are his. So this, Yahweh knows those who are his. Where can that be found in the scriptures? He's quoting a scripture here. Let's take a look here at Numbers chapter 16, where there was division. Let's take a look. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before or against Moshe with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown, well-respected men. They, 250 men, gathered together against Moshe and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy. Every one of them is holy. And Yahweh is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of Yahweh? Whoa. Look out. So when Moshe heard it, he fell on his face. He spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, well, tomorrow morning, Yahweh will show who is his. And actually the word show is the Hebrew word yada, which means to know. Yahweh will know who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. And so They came with a false accusation that Moshe was exalting himself above the assembly of Yahweh. How could they be so blind? You know, the Red Sea part, they're being fed with manna every day. I mean, how could they be so blind? But they're so hungry for power. They were willing to speak against the man through whom Yahweh clearly worked. You couldn't deny the work of Yahweh in him. And they're willing to rise up against him. 250 men of renown, people, well-respected men, rising up against him. Well, let's just say things did not turn out so well for the company of Korah. Let's continue to read here, down in verse 23. So Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Then Moshe rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, their little children. And Moshe said, "By this you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works. I have not done them of my own will." Actually, Moshe didn't even want to go. "If these men die naturally like all men, or if they're visited by some common fate of all men, Yahweh has not sent me. But if Yahweh creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you understand these men have rejected Yahweh." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, the ground split apart under them, the earth opened its mouth, didn't know it had one, and swallowed them up, gulp, with their households and all the men of Korah with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. And then the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. That is a mind-blowing thing that happened. Just standing there all of a sudden, whoop, down you go. The earth closed right back up like they were never even there. Yahweh revealed those who were his, didn't he? They figured it out really quick. But this is a very serious situation, because Yahweh had given his Torah, his law, his commands, his standard of the right way to live through Moshe. And so if Moshe could be questioned, all of Scripture could be questioned. And then you have nothing to go by, nothing to go look to. This is authoritative over here. And when you don't have something authoritative to look to, some man's going to show up and take his place. I promise you, it'll happen every time. I see it among us. People deny Paul or deny parts of the Scriptures. And guess what? Guess who gets to take Paul's place? Whoever it is that's denying him. This is what really happened. This is what's really going on, guys. And it happens there. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to you over Paul. You know, when Peter calls Paul's letter Scripture, and you're not Scripture, I think I'll roll with Paul. I haven't found a single thing Paul said I disagree with, or any Scripture disagree with. So what happened here was a faction had risen up within the ranks, and this is after Yahweh had already told him, "You're not going to enter the Promised Land." And so these people are still around, okay? And amazingly, the next thing that happened after this is everybody else got upset, saying, "Hey, you've killed the people of Yahweh, Moses. What are you doing?" Like, he made the ground open up. And so finally Aaron's rod that budded kind of solved the whole thing. But it's crazy. Now, we have similar problems today, not quite that extreme. But he said you're going to have factions among you. What are factions? It's a very interesting word, this word translated factions. It's the Greek word hieresis. Hieresis, the act of taking, storming a city, a choosing, a choice, that which is chosen, a body of men following their own tenets, of the Sadducees, Pharisees, of the Christians. Huh? Now, sometimes these lexicons, they are a little interpretive, okay? Dissensions arising from diversity of opinions and aims. We got plenty of that going on, don't we? All kind of opinions. All right, so now look at this here. This is the part that tells you how the word's translated. It says here that word's translated heresy four times, and it's translated sect five times. Think about that. Very interesting. The word's translated sect, for instance, in Acts 5:17. High priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect, the heresy of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in a common prison. And so what I've found, I discovered a number of years ago, denominationalism and sectarianism is heresy. It is. That's what it is. Got a book on the shelf back there called Handbook of Denominations, Handbook of Heresies, Handbook of Heretical Movements. So this word is actually rooted in 138. Hieresis 130, rooted in 138. Okay? So what's 138 have to say? And it has Hayomi, I can't even say it. To take for oneself, to prefer, this is what, to choose by vote, elect to office. Means translated choose three times. Very interesting. The company of Korah, they're running for office, weren't they? Oh, we're all holy. We got it down, Moshe. Oh, yeah, I don't think Yahweh really chose you anyway. Where are we? We're not in the land of milk and honey. What's going on here? And so they wanted to be chosen rather than Moshe. Well, there's plenty of church denominations that they say they took the place of Moshe. It's still going on. It's nothing. It's still going on to this day. And so they want you to choose them instead of Moshe. And these denominations, they make divisions in the body of Messiah, dividing over one thing or another. And they have the same issue among people, actually among us, who claim to be Torah observant. They create divisions, and they want you to choose. Who are you going to go with? You going to go with this guy? You going to go with that guy? This leader or that leader? Who are you going to go with? Because if you don't go with us, then you're out of here. Goodbye. See you later. We don't need you. Be careful. Be careful. Now, there are places where you got to make a division. Biblically so, you have to make a division. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a violer or a drunkard or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. What have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside Elohim judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that evil person. They are committing capital crimes. They should be put away. That's actually the He's quoting from the Torah where they put to death people who committed capital crimes. And so I have no problem making a division where Yahweh makes a division. Years ago, I had two people come into this room. I was giving a seminar called Footsteps of the Savior. We're going through the Torah and showing how Yahshua walked in the footsteps of the Torah. And I mentioned this scripture right here, and the one man rose up. You're saying me, if we're living in fornication, we can't fellowship with you? I said, I'm not saying anything. I'm showing what Scripture says. I can't keep company with you. He goes, well, we're not married. We're living together. So you're fornicating. I can't keep company with you. He got up and walked out of the room. A couple years later, they divorced because apparently they get married. And they divorced. It was, and he got upset. I sat with him for a while. He's trying to convince me I should not do what Scripture says. I should not make a division where Scripture tells me to make a division. I said, sorry, I got to make a division where he says to make that division. Well, today, you know, there's so much immorality. You think it wasn't going on in Corinth? It was probably worse than what we're experiencing here in America. So, yeah, sometimes you got to draw a line. And that's okay. But then, how do you know? How do you know where to draw the line? Here's where I draw the line, where Yahweh draws the line. So that I kept back nothing that was helpful, proclaimed it to you, and taught publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews, also to Greeks, repentance, repentance toward Elohim, and faith toward our Master, Yahshua Messiah. Two things. So, if repentance and faith is where we meet him and he accepts us, when we depart from repentance and or faith in Yahshua, that's where we also make our exit. Right? Make sense? How about Acts 2:38? Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the Yahshua Messiah for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's faith in Yahshua because you're being baptized, and there's repentance. That's what you have to do to enter into a relationship with Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. And so people that are willfully out there fornicating and all these other things, there's no way they can say they're repentant people. They can't be. It's so obvious. These are obvious sins you cannot commit. So this is why he's saying don't keep company with them because they're not really his. Now, there are other things that are not so clear and obvious. You know, if I look at the denominations out there, most of the time they split up over a doctrinal difference of some kind. Two different ways of understanding the scripture. And they split up over two different ways of understanding what the Bible is trying to say. They're not rebellious necessarily toward Yahweh. There, some might be, but they see it different, and so they split up over that difference. And then some of them go as far, and this is where you get into what I call a sect or hieresis or heresy. For instance, Jehovah's Witness, they say, unless you're a part of our organization, there is no salvation outside of our organization. We are the so-called God's organization, and if you're outside that, you can't be saved. And there's even some among us who make that same claim, 12 tribes, House of Yahweh in Texas, make these kinds of claims. Assemblies of Yahweh in Bethel, PA. Those are sects. Those are heresies. Those are denominations. They're making divisions where Yahweh doesn't make the division. That's dangerous. That's where we get in trouble. Because here's what happens. If you judge somebody else because they have a different understanding of the Bible, but their heart's not their heart's repentant, they're trying to do their best, but they don't know. And you judge them and say they're not a believer, what did Yahshua say? With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. You will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but don't consider the plank in your own? And so you're judging someone because they have a different angle or a different idea of what that means. Their heart's not rebellious, just they're making a mistake. And you probably got your own mistakes over here, right? So you say they're not saved because they're making a mistake, even though it's sincere, honest. And you got your own. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. The measure you use, we measure it back to you. That's dangerous. That's why it's heresy. You're making division where Yahweh makes none. You're splitting up the people of Yahweh where he doesn't make a split. And I see that among us too. Sadly. All those Christians over there, they're all going to hell, you know. Sunday worshipers. I've heard them be called Baal worshipers. I've heard all kinds of things. Listen, some guy down here in a Super 8 motel room, he's the worst sinner in town, okay? He opens up that drawer, he sees the Bible. He looks at it, he starts reading it. He gets convicted, he gets on his face. He repents. So I've been living wrong. I've been living so wrong. I don't want to live this way anymore. And he calls on the name of Jesus. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know his name is not Jesus. But the person in the Bible is the same person. Right? And so you think he gets up from that prayer and the weight of the whole his whole life lives lifted off of him. Do you think Yahweh in heaven is going, sorry, son, you have not learned about the Shabbat yet? You even pronounced my son's name correctly, by the way. Oh, and by the way, you don't even know what Torah is. How can I save you? You're making division where Yahweh makes no division. Yahweh accepts you where you are. If he doesn't, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble because none of us are perfected yet, and nobody has perfect knowledge of every little thing the Bible teaches, including me. So we're all in trouble. If that's the standard, we're all in trouble. And with what judgment you've judged, you'll be judged. Now, that guy goes to church. He's got a lot to learn just in a Christian church. He's got a lot to learn. Okay? But suppose he puts that Bible away and, like, man, this pastor really knows this stuff, you know? I'll just sit and listen to him. He left his first love. What happened to this? What happened to this vertical thing now? Now it's horizontal, then vertical. What happened? Now you're trusting in man. That's dangerous. Yahweh knows the hearts. I don't know where he's at. I'm not going to pretend to judge where and when and how. But Yahweh will expose it at some point, who he's really following. And he does that for us too. So here's what I have come to understand. You know, where are you going to draw a line? Okay, let's say you got to have this much truth and then you're saved. Where are you going to draw a line? How much truth do you have in order to be saved? 20%, 50%, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? Do you even know how much truth you have yet? I mean, you figured it out? No, you don't know, right? So we don't know, right? We just don't know. So here's what you got to be. It's not how far you are on the journey. It's whether you're on the journey. Whether you have made a decision to repent and put your trust in Messiah Yahshua for forgiveness of sin. That was the perspective of the first century believers in Yahshua. Let me show you. Acts chapter 24, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders. A certain orator named Tertullus, these gave evidence to the governor against Paul. So Paul's on trial, and the Pharisees are like, I know what we'll do. We'll hire an orator. Surely he can word things in such a way. The best lawyer, you know, prosecuting attorney. We're going to hire the best. And when he called upon, Tertullus began to his accusation, starting with flattery. Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace, and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight. We accept it always in all places, most noble Felix, and with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man, talking about Paul, a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world. You ever been called that before? You're creating division. And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. A sect is what they accused him of being a part of. Interestingly enough, the Nazarenes, according to his history, multiple church fathers, and this is one of them, Jerome, says the Nazarenes accept the Messiah in such a way that he did not cease to observe the old law. This is a church father saying this is what the Nazarenes believe. And, of course, they're accusing Paul of being a Nazarene because he was Torah observant believer in Yahshua. So what do you think we ought to be? Anyway, side issue there. But Paul's response was, yes, I'm a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. No, he didn't say that. Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, said, inasmuch as I know, you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because you may ascertain, it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anybody, or inciting the crowd, or in the synagogues, or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, not what I call a sect, they call it a sect, so I worship the Elohim of my fathers, believing all the things that are written in the law and the prophets. That's why he was Torah observant. And so they call it a sect, but I'm calling it the way. Notice the letter W is capitalized. the translators recognized this was what it was called, because in Acts chapter 19, it says, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the master, went to the high priest before he was a believer, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now he's hunting down people outside of Jerusalem, because they went everywhere preaching the word, right? And in Acts 19:9, some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And he did a really, really powerful work in that school. But anyway, they're called the way. And we also see 19:23, about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. And then Felix heard these things. Having a more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and so on. Well, what is the way? Greek word is hodos. Hodos, properly, a way. A traveled way, a road. A traveler's way, a journey. Metaphorically, a course of conduct, a way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Translated way 83 times. So, simply what it means. Now, the Old Testament was translated in the Greek back in the 3rd century B.C. And I looked at this word hodos, kind of curious as to where it'd be found in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Might give me some insight into the Hebrew, see? Always trying to go back to the Hebrew. So, I found it here. It says, but the way, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. And that's so beautiful. It's not that you're perfectly bright now, but your path is getting brighter. And so you're on the way. You're not there, but you're on the way, right? You're on the journey. You're on the path. You're working your way down the road. And it's a path that's not necessarily perfectly bright on day one. I'm totally different than I was on day one back in 1989. That was day one, and I didn't know a thing about the Bible. Not a single thing, except I knew I needed to repent. I knew I needed to put my trust in Yahshua. And I read King James. It might as well have been some foreign language because I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, so that man in the motel room is on a path. And you're on a path, and you're on a path, you're on a path. We're all on a path. We're all on a journey. We're all on the way. You start making division where Yahweh don't make one, that's dangerous. You start excluding people based on things that are not really related to repentance and faith in Yahshua. This is why Yahshua in Matthew 18, he's saying, if your brother sins against you and you confront him and he repents, then you forgive him. If you won't listen, bring one or two more. And you won't listen to them, you bring the whole congregation. If you won't listen to the whole congregation over a serious matter that everyone knows is wrong, he's not a believer because he's not a repentant person. See, that's where we make our exit when we're no longer repentant people. It's not because you understand the verse one way, I understand it differently. Yahweh will correct us one day. And so, we're all on the path. We tend to want to put people in boxes. That's the problem. We don't put people in boxes. Oh, that group's saved. That group's not saved. No. There are some people that are probably saved in that group, and some in that group, and some over here, some here in our congregation, and some in another congregation, and Yahweh knows them that are His. He knows them that are His. Because what He sees is not boxes. What He sees is individual hearts. That's what He's looking at. And no one can take confidence because I'm in this box, I'm saved. No. You could be around 50,000 saved people and you're the one that's lost. Conversely, you could be around 50,000 lost people and be the one that's saved. He's not looking what box you're in. What family you're in. Just because you're in this family, you don't get saved because your parents saved or saved. Nobody gets saved because their daddy or granddaddy was saved. You have your own salvation to work out with fear and trembling. Your own salvation. So we're on the Orach in Hebrew. Ha'orach, we are on the way. We are seeking Yahweh's paths. And Yahweh, the foundation is this. Yahweh knows those who are his. So let everyone who names the name of Yahshua, that means you're a believer, repent, depart from iniquity. Repentance and faith in Yahshua. There it is, right there. Over and over and over again. You open up a Bible, point to a page, anywhere, and I'll show you, it's pointing you to one or two things. The ministry of the Torah, to bring you repentance, or the ministry of Yahshua, to redeem you of your sins. One or the, I don't care what verse you point to, it is somehow, in some way, directing you toward one of those two ministries. Repentance and faith in Yahshua. And so, what did Yahshua say? I am the way. I am the way. Because he walked that way perfectly. He did not fail in one iota of scripture in his obedience. And so he is the way. And he is the truth. And he is where we find life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. And so, he is the way, and so what do we call this fellowship? Shepherd's Way. That's why we named it Shepherd's Way, because we're followers of the way, and he is the way. And so, I said all this to say this to everybody in the sound of my voice. Listen, don't be discouraged when people who have a sectarian mindset condemn you, speak evil of you, exclude you, look down upon you, say you're not measuring up, you're not at the right level yet, you're not where I'm at, you're not good enough, call you a heretic because you have a different understanding of the scriptures. Trust in this promise right here. Yahweh knows you. Yahweh's got you figured out. He knows your heart is repentant. You're doing your best. You mess up sometimes. You fail. But when you do, you confess it. You ask forgiveness. And that shows a repentant heart. He accepts that. He accepts a repentant heart. Even when you make mistakes, even terrible mistakes. And he absolutely knows that you are putting your trust in Yahshua. You know, you recognize your own righteousness is not enough. And so he knows you're his. Those are two things he requires of you. And walk humbly with your Elohim. We talked about that yesterday. And so, believe in that. Don't let the words of men discourage you. Especially sectarian men. Oh, who says you're anything? Same idea as these sectarian men in the company of Korah. Well, who says you're anything, Moshe? We're the ones. We're the ones who, they're really the ones who are approved. No, as impressive as they were in numbers, 250 men of renown, leaders of congregations, Yahweh demonstrated they were really not his at all when the earth swallowed them up and they went down into the pit of hell. Right? When they began to sit in judgment over Moshe, they even said, you know, Moshe, it's a small thing you brought us out of a land of milk and honey. You brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. Now you're going to act like a prince over us. That is such an offensive thing to say. Because that Egypt was not no land of milk and honey. It was simply not true. But the day will come when the sons of Elohim will be revealed. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. Then we'll know. In fact, Malachi says, then those who feared Yahweh spoke to one another, and Yahweh listened and heard them. Here we are. Social media, whatever, we're speaking on one another, talking to each other. A book of remembrance was written before him. He's writing this down, our conversations. So pay attention to what you're saying to other people, okay? He's writing it down. For those who fear Yahweh and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. He knows you needed to be spared, because he knows we're still a work in progress. But he's going to spare you. And then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves Elohim and one who does not serve him at all. So don't be discouraged. He knows. He knows who are his. He knows. That's all that matters. Nobody else really has to know. He knows. But we can sometimes discern who really is. He says, first of all, when you come together as a congregation, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must be sects, divisions, denominations among you. And those who are approved could be recognized. It does happen. And that was the case in 2 Timothy. Most of the time, what these sectarians actually do, they say things that cannot be reconciled with Scripture in any way, shape, or form. And for that reason, he charged Timothy this way: be diligent to present yourself approved to Elohim. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is going to correct who needs to be corrected. And most of the time, what I find is people who have a sectarian mindset, they find some way to attack the word. They go after it because they know it's in their way of what they want to believe, okay? So look for that. Look for those who are doubting the word or somehow discounting a scripture. If there's even one scripture anywhere that contradicts what I believe, what I believe cannot be true. Yahweh don't need two witnesses. It's not like he's going to lie one time. He doesn't need another witness. If there's one scripture that contradicts, I'm misunderstanding something somewhere. And that's where it is. And so look for this and be diligent. Study, know, and understand that word of truth. And so Hymenaeus and Philetus were saying these crazy things. All the resurrections already happened. There's actually a group around here teaching that. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, here's a solid foundation. This house of Elohim, Yahweh knows them, they're his. And let everyone who names the name of Messiah repent. Depart from iniquity. Repentant believers in Yahshua. So here's what we do. We depart from iniquity. We call the name of Yahshua. It'll be revealed that you're his in the end. Don't worry about what people say and think and do. And don't let them get you thinking that you're not his, because it's their opinion you're not. Okay? Look at what Scripture says. That's all that matters. And what he says is there are two things we have to have: repentance and faith in Yahshua. That's our foundation. That's the foundation we build off of. All right. Our final promise today: solid foundation of Elohim stands, having this seal. Yahweh knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Messiah depart from iniquity. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice who has not departed from their iniquity, call them in your sheepfold to be followers of your way, the shepherd's way, the way of truth, the way of life. Help them to put their trust in Messiah Yahshua, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter what people think, what people do, keep their eyes on you. Keep things vertical. Don't worry about the horizontal, what others think, say, and do. But Father, bring people into our lives that will affirm your holy word and affirm where you accept us in our relationship with you. It may not be where certain people say it is, but we trust, Father, your word is true. You do receive those who do those two things. We believe it's true. In the same way we believe you created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, we believe these words to be true also. And we thank you that salvation is just so very simple. It's just, man, it complicates everything. Help us, Father, to remain faithful all the days of our life, because we know and we are sure. Yours really is the kingdom and power and glory forever. In Yahshua's great name we pray.